Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I'm your host for today's show, Stephanie Whitehead. Let me ask the listeners a question today before we get started. How many of you have ever avoided a person at your job just because you didn't want to have a conversation with them? It's happened to me. I know it's happened to you. Well, today I'm going to be reviewing easy conversation tips for any situation. I'm always so excited for another opportunity to talk to the listeners about all things laboratory and leadership. For all of you tuning in for the first time, the eLaborate Topics podcast is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-hosts bring the listeners topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help you excel inside and outside of the laboratory. So before I get too deep into this episode, please make sure you like and share this episode. Join us on our eLaborate Topics group on LinkedIn and follow me on social media at Stephanie Y. Whitehead. Again, I'm really excited for this show, so let's get right into it. Now, like I was saying before, this show, I want to share some really easy tips to have a conversation with anybody. And this is really important, especially in the laboratory. Sometimes as a laboratorian, we don't always have the best communication skills. I recall early in my career going to conferences and sitting at those dinners in the evenings at all of those tables with the white cloths next to a person I didn't know, and not really understanding or being the best at starting small talk. So maybe just sitting there awkwardly quiet, waiting on another person to ask me a question first. And over the years, I tried to develop those skills. I really wanted to become better at just being a conversationalist. I just felt like the more I grew in leadership and the more I grew professionally, being able to hold a strong, confident conversation was going to be important no matter what circumstance or situation I was going to be in. Having strong communication skills aid you in every aspect of your life, obviously, but particularly in your professional life. From a business standpoint, all transitions are made through communication. So good communication skills are essential to allow others and yourself to understand information more accurately and more quickly. And if you think about going through your day, how many times do you communicate? You know, we're always on WebExes or Zooms. You may need to talk to your boss. If you're in management, you may need to talk to the people that report to you. You may need to talk to your colleagues, you know, other people in other departments like radiology, clinicians. You know, you may even need to just talk to your family members, your kids' teachers, you know, somebody for your own medical care. So understanding how to have a great conversation is good for all of you guys. And sometimes, although it can be difficult, hopefully the tips that I'm going to give you in this podcast will be helpful. In contrast, poor communication skills lead to frequent misunderstanding and frustration. And this can be either through email and text also. How many times have you gotten a text message, read it the wrong way, or maybe sent an email that had too much font or too many bold letters, some underlines that another person didn't necessarily appreciate, and the message was not conveyed? And I'll tell you, over the past couple of years, especially as things are more virtual, it is easier to have those miscommunications because so much of our communication is not face-to-face. It can be either through text, it can be either through Zoom or WebEx where the cameras are off and you really can't see people's body language, or it can be through email when you're trying to interpret what a person is saying through the words on the screen. More than ever today in our society, because of this, we have a tendency to be more not compromising, not really listening as much. We're trying to get to the next situation and making decisions based on what we already know. So a lot of times you can lose that balance between talking and listening. Every conversation, as you guys already know, has the opportunity to become sensitive or offensive. Somebody can easily take things the wrong way. So it's important to understand good, effective communication skills as the groundwork for networking. Like I said before, conversational competence is sometimes lost, and it's the reason why we sometimes as laboratory people struggle when it comes to networking. You have to be able to have a competent conversation, and sometimes this skill is lost, and even with leaders or people in our profession. Effective communication and effective leadership are closely intertwined. Effective communication is vital to gain trust, align efforts, pursue your goals, and inspire positive change. Leadership communications are important because it promotes collaboration amongst your team members. So if you're able to have a conversation where people can share ideas, feel like others are actively listening and they're heard and their conversation is being validated, they're more open and willing to share additional ideas. Leadership communication skills that are effective also ensure that communication channels between team members and managers remain open and effective. If you're able to talk to the person you report to, and if you are the manager, you're able to have your team report to you, talk to you openly, it can cut down on people going to HR, people complaining, people, you know, reporting things negatively because you're able to solve problems at the lowest level. Communication skills that are effective in your department can also make sure that team members understand the mission, understand their responsibilities, which increases your productivity and it helps your employees remain focused on their goals and their outcomes. So I've given you all of the summary of why just being able to have a good conversation with a clear and concise message is so important. And so let me give you a couple of tips for any situation, whether you're at that conference that I was talking about earlier, sitting at that white cloth dinner table, or whether you're talking to a person at your job. These tips, if you just take one or two of them, will be able to help you enhance your conversational skills, your communication skills, and help you be more effective when you talk. So point number one, forget what you already know. Like I said, in my early years of my professional career, I felt like I wasn't really good at having conversations, at starting small talk. And so I listened to a lot of TED Talks. I read a lot of books. I watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to be a good conversationalist, how to have small talk effectively, how to start conversations effectively. And what I learned from all of that is not to pay attention to most of it. Some of it is good, you know, looking a person in the eye, nodding and smiling, trying to make that body language connection as you're engaging with another person when it comes to conversation. But what I did learn is that if you are actually listening to a person, there's no reason to do prompts to kind of show that you are listening to a person. So you don't have to learn how to pay attention during a conversation if you indeed actually just pay attention in the conversation. So that's my first point. Be engaged in that conversation. Be completely involved in that conversation. You know, sometimes our minds tend to wander, but try to be as engaged and when you're talking to that person as possible with as limited distractions as possible. If you need to get out of the conversation, get out of the conversation. But if you're in the conversation, be in the conversation. Point number two, go with the flow. And again, this is hard for me sometimes because a lot of times a lot of thoughts are running through my head, especially depending how busy the day can get. You know, I'm thinking about the next meeting I have to go to. I'm thinking about the meeting that I just came from. I'm thinking about different points that I want to tell my team before I forget them. But realize that all of that is normal. Thoughts come in your mind, really clever ones that you don't want to forget, but don't let that stop you from being engaged. Like I said in point one, in the conversation that you are in, let stuff come and go in your mind as it should. During that conversation, try your best to be as engaged as possible during that conversation. Point number three, watch your body language. You know, it's important to practice good body language when you want to have a really concise conversation, because body language makes up the majority of what a person is going to pick up. Now, we've all seen those different presenters talk about body language and how body language is a large percentage of what we communicate when we're talking. So make sure that you're using your eye contact, that you're watching your hand gestures, that you're understanding the tone of your voice when you're communicating, because communication isn't just what you say, it's how you carry yourself. And to ensure you're conveying the right message, you need to also focus on your body language. So if you are trying to convey to your team during a huddle, you know, "Hi guys, we're really excited about this new initiative," and the entire time I have my arms crossed, or I'm kind of looking up at the sky and not really giving a lot of eye contact, I'm not really conveying my message to my team. My team may not be able to really catch the full grasp of what I'm trying to say. If you're trying to inspire others, talking with clenched fists and a furrowed brow isn't going to send the correct message. Instead, make sure your eye contact is there to establish interest. And then, you know, you throw in a genuine smile to convey warmth and trust. Point number four, try not to multitask. Again, all of these are very difficult for me, and so I'm not going to portray myself as perfect on any of these things. I'm a very type A person, and with that comes a very strong need to continuously multitask. But what I have learned through feedback from others that I've talked to, constructive feedback from others that I'm talking to, is that when I'm having a conversation and looking at my phone, or if I'm having a conversation while typing an email, or if I'm having a conversation while fishing for something in my purse or in my bag, it takes away from me seeming interested in what the other person is saying. And so again, it falls into that body language. And so try not to multitask if possible. Again, we know we work in healthcare. We know that things are always busy in the laboratory. But if you can have some time to set aside a dedicated conversation when the conversation calls for that, please do so. And you have to kind of read the room. Sometimes there are sensitive things you need to talk about that it's better to go into a private area and give that person one-on-one attention. And again, like I said in my previous point, be present, be in that moment. Don't think about the argument you just had, or don't think about what you want to eat for lunch. If you want to get out of the conversation, again, get out of the conversation, but don't be half in, don't be half out. Don't try to multitask. Be present in that conversation. The next point I have is don't repeat yourself. You know, sometimes we tend to do this when we really want to reiterate a point that we're trying to make. We rephrase it in a lot of different ways. But if you wanted to state your opinion without opportunity for feedback, you can be like us and always do a podcast. that was a joke. But because I'm doing a podcast, I have no feedback. Enter the conversation assuming that you have something to learn. I think it was Bill Nye, the science guy. I used to love him as a kid, who said that everyone is an expert at something. So convey your message in as few words as possible. Try to be as clear and concise as possible. Don't use a lot of filler words. Try to get straight to the point. Rambling can cause your listener to tune out or to be unsure of what you're trying to say. So avoid speaking excessively, and don't say a lot of words that can confuse the person. And again, don't repeat yourself, because frankly, that's boring. People kind of understand what you're doing when you constantly rephrase a point that you're trying to get at. The next point is ask open-ended questions. You know, the who, where, when, why, or what. These are simple questions, but let your person that you're talking to, describe their experience to them. Don't speak for them. In order to be clear and concise when you're discussing strategies and goals with any form of communication, whether that be email or otherwise, we need to present and address the audience's core questions, which are who, how, why, to decrease confusion and increase the clarity. We want to be honest and authentic, and especially in these times of doubt. If you can think about it, think about if you work in a clinical laboratory setting. I'm sure that there had been at some point over the past 2 years, different protocols on visitation in the hospital or the clinic or wherever you potentially work, different protocols on protective equipment, maybe a mask, different protocols on taking temperatures. And so think about, you know, maybe your CMO or your administrator or your COO, how they communicated that message to the staff. You know, if they had came out and said, okay, guys, the CDC kind of wants us to wear a mask sometimes with most of the patients. We're going to let, you know, maybe 3 or 4 visitors in, and we're going to take the temperatures depending on if they have a fever, whatever you think. So that message isn't really clear or concise. And particularly in the time that we've been in over the past 2 years with the pandemic, this time of doubt, people want a very clear and concise message. So don't try to twist the situation into something positive. If it's not, people can easily recognize when you're lying. People prefer the truth over a lie or a half-truth, even when it's hard to handle. Most people want to just hear the cold, hard, honest truth. And always be realistic. Never overpromise anything you can't deliver. You know, my favorite line in the laboratory is, I'm not the smartest person in the room. And I'm not the final decision maker. I have bosses. My bosses have bosses. And so if it's not a decision that I'm over, it's not a decision that I can confidently make, I'm very open at saying, you know, we will try to push this forward, but giving people an understanding of all of the barriers that might be in place just to give them a realistic view of what we'll be facing. So if you don't know, say you don't know. It's okay not to know something. But, you know, we definitely don't want you making up things in a conversation to come across as if you know. The next point is be open-minded. In situations where you disagree with something someone else says, whether it's your employer or your coworker or your friend, or, you know, another colleague, it's important to sympathize with their point of view rather than simply try to get your message across. Everybody is understanding messages that come to them through the lens of how they see it and through the lens of the experiences that have happened in their lives. And we've all had different experiences. We've all had different journeys in our life. And that's okay. And so sometimes you may not have the same experience and therefore not the same vantage point of another person. Again, that is okay. But just try to respect the opinion of others and never resort to demeaning them, especially if you don't agree with them. Another point is, you know, stay out of the weeds. Sometimes when we talk to people, we try to get really down into the details. So if you can't recall all the details of your story, just go with the flow. Like I talked about before in the previous points, let thoughts come in and out of your mind. Describe the story as it's coming to you. Stay open-minded. Stay in the moment. Just go with the flow. Be interested in other people. Like I said, anticipate that everybody you meet has something to teach you. And then the most important part I want to give you is about actively listening. And if you haven't heard about actively listening, it's really listening with a focus and with a purpose. You know, there's a saying that says no one ever listened their way out of a job. You know, there have been people who probably talked themselves out of a job, but, you know, nobody's ever listened their way out of a job. There are some studies that say that we can speak 250 words a minute. I know I definitely can because I think I speak very fast. More people have told me that, but we can listen to 500 words per minute, which means you can listen to much more than you can talk if you're actively listening. So try not to listen with the intent to reply. Try to really, like I said before, be engaged in that person's conversation. And you'll learn that the more you are engaged into what the person is talking about, the more they really open up and continue to talk. To become a good communicator, it's important to be a good listener and practice active listening. Pay close attention to what others are saying and clarify by rephrasing their questions for a greater understanding. Active listening is a person's ability to focus entirely on an individual speaking and to comprehend what they're saying. It means that you retain what someone tells you and you understand the message that they're relaying. And when they share, actively engage in the conversation, you know, pose questions, invite them to elaborate on what maybe they just said, maybe take a few notes. If you want to understand a person's motivations, thoughts, or goals better, practice asking some open-ended questions. Like I said before, there's a really useful acronym called TED. So the T stands for Tell Me More. The E stands for explain what you mean, and the D stands for define that term or concept to me. And so this is an acronym that you can use during conversation to help the person elaborate, keep the conversation going, understand more of what they're talking about, and increase the engagement and the richness of the conversation. By leveraging these phrases when speaking, you can elicit more thoughtful, thorough responses and ensure that you also get clarity around what you need to get clarity on as you guys are speaking. If you're talking to your employees or if you're in management and you're using these phrases, this phrase can show that you want input and that you value other people's feedback and other people's opinions. By using their ideas, you can help to build the trust and loyalty with your team over time by making them a part of the solutions. So like I said before, good communicators are first good listeners. When you listen well, you gain a clear understanding of another person's perspective and knowledge. And like I said before, even if you don't agree with what they're saying, at least you have a clear understanding of what they're saying and why they're saying it and maybe what's behind that opinion or that feedback. Listening fosters trust, respect, and openness. And so if you think about, you know, maybe people that you worked for in the past that you thought were good communicators or effective leaders, and then you think about in your mind a moment to have a thought about a person who was not a good effective leader and who was not a good communicator, the difference between them is likely that something about their communication style made you feel unvalidated, not respected, not appreciated, like you could not be open in the conversation with that person. And so if you just think about how you felt during that time when you were being spoken to, or you were in a conversation where you felt like the communication was not effective, then you can really learn a lot from reviewing that conversation in your mind, taking notes, and then implementing those in your future conversations so you don't repeat that same pattern. Of all of these, I think the most important one is the one about the distractions. You know, it's so easy to have your phone around, or, you know, be checking your emails. And again, I've gotten feedback that when you do that, it's your body language, your attention all point towards you're just not active listening and not validating the other person in that conversation. Finally, I think one of the last tips is it's okay if there's silence. Encourage other people to offer their solutions before you give yours. But if there's a moment of silence, you know, let the conversation come to you. I wouldn't press on anything. You know, there's always time to go back and reflect on conversations, think about what was or was not said and how things could have been said a little bit better. But hopefully, you know, these tips will give you guys something to think about And honestly, I think if you walk away from this podcast, this very short podcast, with at least one or two tips that you can dive deeper into and that you can probably implement into your own conversation style, or that you can practice on with another person, or that you can be more mindful of when you're talking to other people, honestly, your conversations will be more effective just off of that. A lot of times it's just about us realizing what we're not doing the best of, or maybe what could be a weakness of ours, and just focusing on it. And that weakness turns into a strength over time. So that's all I have. Thank you for tuning in and checking out this episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. Leave a comment. Let me hear about some effective or ineffective conversations that you've had. I'd love to talk to you guys more about this topic, on how you focus on your conversation styles, and how you focus on making sure that you're having good, effective, clear conversations throughout your day. So I'd love to hear back from you guys. I'm also a mentor with ASCP or ASCLS. And so if you like to reach out to me on social media or through one of those mediums to get some help on how to better your communication styles, I'm happy to help any listener listening to this podcast. If you like what you heard today and you want to hear more of our previous shows, or you don't want to miss one coming up in the future, be sure to subscribe at directimpactbroadcasting.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember to email us if you'd like to be a guest on the show, or if you feel like you would like to hear us talk about a topic that would benefit you inside or outside of the laboratory. Please stay tuned next week for another amazing episode of the Elaborate Topics podcast. And until then, this is Stephanie Whitehead telling you to have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.